You may be seated. And as they were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus, having opened the disciples' minds according to the Scriptures, and promising his Father, that is the Holy Spirit, Jesus led them as far as Bethany, and then he blesses them once more, and then he is received into heaven by means of a cloud. Two angels stand there, remaining on the Mount of Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, declaring that this Son of Man will come one day again in the same way that he left. And we all know that this took place 40 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The church commemorates this event in the life of Jesus as the ascension of our Lord. It is one of the great five high feasts in the church year, alongside of Christmas and Epiphany and Easter and Pentecost. But why a special service, if you will? Well, because the ascension of our Lord is a pivotal moment in the life of the church, and also it is a source of great and abiding comfort to Christians. For it speaks of our destiny in Christ, of how and in what way we shall take our place in the new heavens and the new earth. But sadly, however, this is often forgotten or obscured, given the dominance of Reformed theology that holds sway over all of American Protestant churches in America. You see, Reformed Christianity speaks of Jesus' ascension as his leaving earth and going to another physical location where he is no longer bodily present. Therefore, his ascension is viewed as a creating a separation between Jesus and his church. Jörg Zwingli, a contemporary of Martin Luther, a humanist and a Reformed theologian, put it bluntly to Luther long ago. But if Christ is seated there, he cannot be here. But such teaching, when you think about it, leaves us with a Jesus who is far away from us and far away from the world in which we live. It leaves us with a Jesus who may be spiritually present, whatever that may mean, but not physically present in, with, and under the body and blood as he has promised. Not only does that dreadfully misunderstand the ascension of Jesus, but it also robs us of all the comfort that he abides with us physically and sacramentally according to his very promise. For you see, the ascension of Jesus is not about his absence, as if he would ever think to leave any one of us, so as to betray his own words, to leave us as orphans or as sheep without a shepherd. For Jesus is not a fair weather Savior and God. He doesn't say at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "And lo, I will be with you again someday at the end of the world." Nor does St. Paul suggest in our epistle lesson, Ephesians 1, that Jesus is simply above in the heavens twiddling his thumbs while we, his church, are here below bereft of his presence. Granted, the language of coming again does imply that he, quote, left. But here is the key, and remember this. Jesus' departure from our eyes is not the same thing as him being absent from us. Jesus' ascension is more kind of like what happened in the village of Emmaus after the resurrection, when the disciples on the road recognized him in the breaking of the bread. The text tells us that they saw him go and that they would see him again. And Jesus would tell his disciples on the night of his betrayal that yet a little while and the world will see me no longer, but you will see me, Jesus says. Clearly, Jesus has not left us as orphans or simply with a spiritual presence or nebulous presence. He's not an absentee or ethereal savior. Rather, what he is doing is that he is pointing us to a different means by which he is present with us. And that is to his word and to his supper and to the baptism with which we are baptized into him. Think about it this way this evening. Jesus' ascension is about his greater presence among us. It's about his exaltation to the right hand of the Father for this reason, so that he can fill all things, that he can be present with everyone all our days until the consummation of this age. That he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty is simply a description of how he saves. The psalmist will say that Yahweh saves his Christ. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. So the glory that the Son of Man had before the world existed is the glory that he now has as the man Jesus of Nazareth. So in other words, the ascension of Jesus is far more about the exalting of the man Jesus in the flesh, above the powers and authorities, into the highest places, than it is at all about the Son of God departing and going to heaven, or that him leaving us, if you will. For as Jesus ascends, he sends the promise of his Father. He sends the Holy Spirit. And so now, the Spirit calls us by the gospel of this Jesus. He is now present with us, not according to our physical sight, but according to the faith that the Spirit creates within our hearts. He is present with us, not by way of the eye, but by way of the ear, by way of the promise. It's as if Jesus were to have said on the Mount of Olivet, "Look, I am still with you. I'm still with you all your days by the word that I speak through the shepherds that I send to you. I'm still with you, and you are always my dear child by the baptism with which I have baptized you with. And I'm still with you, and I'm ever by your side and close by your heart in my body and blood that you eat and you drink for the forgiveness of all your sins." You see, the difference is not whether he is present or not, but how he is present. And it is according to his word that neither the whether he is present, or how he is present, that is in doubt for us as his Christians. So it is that we sit here tonight in amazement, rejoicing that the great mystery that the man Jesus of Nazareth is now sitting on the throne of the universe, and he rules and he reigns from there. And he does this all for us and for our salvation. Even more, that when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he brought you with him. So St. Paul will tell us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are already seated with him in the heavenly places. That sounds somewhat strange, for you might say, "Well, I am seated here in the pews of Pilgrim Evangelical Lutheran Church." But here's the point, that where Jesus is, there you are also. So the things that he wins, he gives to you. The things that he has accomplished, he now delivers to you. He has taken hold of you so tightly in his death and his resurrection that what belongs to him now belongs to you. It's just like a husband and wife, that what belongs to the one belongs to the other, for they are one flesh. They share the same life, they share the same hopes, the same future, the same family. Likewise, you are wedded to Christ, and you share the same life and the same joy and the same holiness and the same glory, because he is risen from the dead and he has ascended into heaven, and he is your bridegroom, and you are his bride. Or put in the words of St. Augustine, we are already in heaven with him, even though what is promised us has not yet been revealed in our very bodies. Now, without question, like the disciples on the Mount of Olivet, we yearn to know the time of our restoration, when the kingdom of God will be restored to Israel, and we shall see with our own eyes this kingdom of God in the new heavens and the new earth. And it really is hard to hear Jesus reply and say, look, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority. It's hard when the departures of life happen, when separation and death happen, even if we know that it is not forever. It's hard when see you soon feels far much more like goodbye. And in those moments, we can easily forget that Jesus rules and reigns over all things for our good. That indeed we have a friend in the highest places who loves to hear our cries and prayers and laments. That we can forget that he is above all powers and that even sin, death, and the devil have been put beneath his ascended feet. That we can forget that in the midst of trouble and affliction, that Jesus has not forgotten us, or that he has left us behind, or that he has bid us to carry on in this life without him. And when our sinful, weary body and mind are lost in this way, it is then the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives us hope. It reminds us that Jesus has not left us with a mere memorial of himself, a picture of himself that may warm our heart one moment but then crush the next that he is, quote, gone, or mere memories of a once beautiful life or discipleship of 3 years that the disciples had, or a roadmap that now we have to follow on our own. No, by his promises, Jesus is with us physically, sacramentally. By his word, supper, and baptism, he is with you, giving you the eternal life that you seek. He has not left you as orphans, and he is always your God, and you are always his children. He is the Lord over all creation, and he has put all things under his ascended feet. The only thing for which you and I wait today for is the seeing of that victory. So while it is not for us to know the times and the seasons of our final redemption and restoration, we do not at the same time stare aimlessly up into heaven waiting for Jesus to come back. Rather, what we do is that we look to those whom we can see, those whom the Lord has given us to serve in our varied vocations and callings in this life. What we do is what the early Christians did just after the ascension of our Lord. We devote ourselves to the hearing of God's word, for the praying of those inside and outside the church, and for eating the supper together as we proclaim his death until he comes. In this way, and when he does appear, which is on a day that no man will knoweth, we will be found doing what he has called us to do. That is, we will be found faithful according to his promises, standing firm in his body and he our head, not as a headless church, not as a rudderless church, but as one where he gives us his own living body and blood by which we are made partakers of his divine and immortal life. God be praised for his ascension this evening. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, unto eternal life. Amen.
Amen.